Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Purify my heart. Let it be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold.
Like yours, Lord,
a heart like yours is my desire.
you for tonight. We ask in the name of Jesus that you speak to us and bless us and change us from within and give us a heart like yours. In Jesus' mighty name, and let the people of God say amen. Put your hands together for Jesus if you don't mind. And you may be seated. Will you please turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. And we're reading from verse 28. I want to continue with my series on becoming more like Jesus, having the heart that he had. Becoming more like Jesus, having the heart that he had. This is the second part of the series. And in Romans 8, 28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Lift up your right hand and say with me, God has called me according to his own purpose. He has called me. I love God. Deep inside me, I love him. And because I love him, I know that everything will work together for my good. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the verse 29 says, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord is what I said. Now, God's ultimate purpose and design for us is that we will become like his son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And this is something that we must strive for and seek to accomplish as we run this Christian race. Now, we cannot become more like Jesus until we have the heart that he had. It is because of the kind of heart that Jesus had that he did the things that he did, that he conducted himself the way he did. And so, if we are sincere about becoming more like Jesus, then it is necessary for us to have the kind of heart that he had. And last week I explained to you that when I talk about heart, I'm not talking about that physical organ, that pumping machine that beats on the upper part of your body, of your chest towards your left side. If you put your hand there right now, you find out that something is beating. I told you last week that if it is not beating, then there's a serious problem. And you need to see a cardiologist as quickly as possible. Sometimes also when there's too much fat gathered around there, you don't feel it. So, but it's important that your heart should beat. And when it stops beating, it's an indication that something is seriously wrong. And it may be a sign that you are dead, only you are not yet aware that you are dead. But you shall not die. You shall live to declare the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. The heart, as referred to in this sermon title, is the center and the seat of your physical and spiritual life. Number two, it is the seat of your will, your intellect, and your emotions. And then your heart is also the fountain of your thoughts, your passions, your desires, your appetites, your affections, your purposes, and your endeavors. Hallelujah. Now, during the prayer time, Pastor James took us to Ezekiel chapter 11. Is that not so? And verse 19. Alright. Put up the King James Version for me. King James Version, please. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. Amen. Now, if you go to Ezekiel, same Ezekiel, chapter 36, I believe. And verse 26, it says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So here, particularly in Ezekiel 36, and if you look at Ezekiel 18 and 31 also, it says, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. So these scriptures talk about a new heart and talk about a new spirit. Sometimes it's a bit difficult and challenging to really understand what the heart is. There are times in the Bible when heart and spirit are used interchangeably. And there are times when you ask yourself, what's the difference between the heart, the soul, the spirit, and so on and so forth. But I think that essentially when we talk about a new heart, maybe one of the easy ways of understanding it is to see it as a new nature. So when God says, I'll give you a new heart, what it means is that I will give you a new nature. And when God talks about giving you a new spirit, so that those two things, a new heart and a new spirit, are actually describing the born again experience. Hallelujah. So when you become born again, God actually makes it possible for you to have a new heart and to have a new spirit. And that new heart also means a new nature. Now, you'd recall that when God created man, it was said that he created man in his own image, after his own likeness. A simple way of putting that is to say that God made us like himself, and he also made us have his nature. Is that easy to understand? So that's how God created man. And man, when he was initially created, had that kind of heart that Jesus had. Which means that he had the kind of nature that Jesus had, which he exhibited when he walked the earth. But something happened to that nature. It was corrupted. It was stained. And it happened as a result of the sin that entered into the world. So it took that nature of God away, and another nature was introduced. So now when you're becoming born again, it's important for you to have a new heart and to have a new spirit. So you can understand heart also as a new nature, apart from all the other things that I have talked about. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus had a certain kind of heart. And I just said a few minutes ago that the kind of heart that he had influenced what he did, how he conducted himself, how he spoke, and how he lived his life. And if you are serious about becoming more like Jesus, then it is imperative that we have the kind of heart that he had. Which then raises the question of what kind of heart that did Jesus have. Now, we can describe Jesus' heart in so many ways, and there are different things that we can identify about the heart that Jesus had. One of the things we notice about the heart of Jesus was that it was a pure heart. Everybody say, pure heart. Say it again, pure heart. Now, pure means clean, free from corrupt desire, free from sin, free from guilt, free from falsehood. Pure means sincere, it means genuine, it means blameless, and it also means innocent. Ladies and gentlemen, when Adam was created, when Eve were created initially, this was the kind of heart that they had. They were clean, they were free from sin, from guilt, from falsehood, sincere, they had a genuine heart, a blameless heart, they had an innocent heart. And this is the kind of heart that Jesus exhibited when he walked the earth. He was described as sinless. He was described as the spotless Lamb of God. It was said and testified of him that there was no sin in him. And elsewhere it was said concerning him that he was holy and blameless and unstained by sin. The reason why he was all of these things was because he had a pure heart. So we can see that Jesus had a pure heart from, you know, something like his temptations. Jesus Christ was tempted in every way as we are, yet he did not sin. And it proves that he had a pure heart, because it is from an impure heart that all the bad things that happen proceed. Hallelujah. We can also see that Jesus had a pure heart because he was never corrupted by the pressure of the people around him, and was never corrupted by the devil. In fact, the temptations of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 were an attempt by Satan to corrupt him. That's what he was trying to do, to corrupt him. And the people also that Jesus ministered to in his time, there were instances when they wanted to corrupt him. And I told you this example of, after he had done that miracle and fed the multitudes, the people wanted to enthrone him as king. Now, Jesus knew that he was supposed to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it looked like what he was supposed to be was being presented to him on a silver platter. He rejected it. He did not allow himself to be affected by it. That is the problem with a corrupted heart and with an impure heart. It gives in very easily to pressure. And that's what happens to us as pastors. You know, when people start hailing us, when people start saying all kinds of complimentary things about us, it begins to get to us. And the reason why it gets to us is that there's some impurity somewhere. And that is when sometimes pastors become larger than life itself. And it gets to a point they demand. They won't admit it, but they demand that people should worship them. And people should hail them. And people should always honor them. Pastors must always be honored, but they must never be worshipped. Should I say it again? Pastors should be honored. The Bible says that we should honor them, that those who rule well are worthy of double honor. But God did not expect that in honoring our pastors and the servants of God, we should worship them. And it is when they become corrupted, it is when we become corrupted, that we allow people to worship us. And then that is sometimes where the error begins to multiply. Then before you realize, something that was so great and something that was so wonderful has become corrupted. May God protect our hearts from corruption. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Good. Now, so to become more like Jesus, we must have a pure heart. And to have a pure heart, it's important to understand that there is work that we must do, and there's also work that only the Holy Spirit can do. There is a part of the work that we must do in order to have a pure heart and to live lives that please the Lord. And there's also a part that the Spirit of God must do. And so, if you look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 12 to 13 from the New King James Version. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, New King James Version. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Who should do that? Say that again. We should work it out. We should work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And salvation encompasses many things, including living clean and pure lives. So the Bible is saying that we should work it out. It means that there is part of the responsibility that rests with us. But then it continues in verse 13. For it is God who works in you. Who is the God who is at work inside you? What's his name? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He is God at work in us. So the Bible is saying that for it is God who works in you, in reference to the Holy Spirit, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. That means that for us to want to do what pleases God, and for us to actually do what pleases God, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Is that easy to understand? So always have this at the back of your mind, that if we're going to live lives that please the Lord, and if we're going to have pure hearts, part of the responsibility rests with us. But the other part of the work will be done by the Holy Spirit. So there's a need for that strong partnership in order for us to become everything that God wants us to become. Let's look at some practical things that we must do in order to have the kind of pure heart that Jesus had. And to have a pure heart, it requires a combination of different things. The first thing that we must do in order to have a pure heart, and we can glean that from the Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 verse that we looked at. Number one, we must depend on the Holy Spirit, acknowledge him as our helper, and commune regularly with him. We must depend on the Holy Spirit, acknowledge him as our helper, and commune regularly with him. If we want to have pure hearts, if we want to have hearts like Jesus' heart, we must depend on the Holy Spirit, we must acknowledge him as our helper, and we must commune regularly with him. John chapter 14 verse 26. A heart like yours. John 14 verse 26. New Living Translation. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative. And here he explains who this advocate is. That is the Holy Spirit. So who is the advocate? I asked the question. Who is the advocate? The Holy Spirit. Then he explains what this Holy Spirit is going to do. Says that he will teach you everything. Everything that you actually need to do well, to succeed, and to flourish, and to prosper in this life. He will teach you those things. And he will remind you of everything I have told you. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so when you are reminded of what Jesus said, you are being given access to the spirit and to life. Hallelujah. But it talks here about the advocate. Everybody say advocate. And you may have heard me say before on a number of occasions that the original Greek word, which was translated into English as advocate, is the word parakletos. Parakletos. Alright, so our brother Cletus, probably his name was derived from that. Alright, parakletos. And that word, one of the meanings of it is one called to the aid of another, or helper. One called to the aid, one called to help somebody. And that's why the Holy Spirit was given to us, to help us. Which is why Jesus explained to the disciples that it is expedient, which means it is necessary, that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come. And that word expedient is a strong word. Jesus noticed that the disciples were sad because he told them that he had to leave them. But then he explained to them that, look, you don't have to be sad that I'm leaving you, because I'm leaving you for a very good reason. There is somebody else who has to come, and he's coming in as a helper, as one who is there to help you, and that is the Holy Spirit. Whatever good thing we want to achieve and accomplish in this life, the help that we need for that thing comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Including even secular things. The mistake that we often make as Christians is to limit the Holy Spirit and his assignment to only spiritual things. But even in your business, in your profession, in your career, in your relationship, in your marriage, I mean, talk about any area of your life. If there's anything positive or anything good that you want to achieve, the Holy Spirit can actually help you to achieve that thing. And that's why he's the master helper. Hallelujah. And so if we want to have a pure heart, it is obvious therefore that we must depend on the Holy Spirit for that. And we must acknowledge him in our lives. Because many of us ignore him, and we don't commune with him. How can you have somebody who has been sent to help you, yet you don't acknowledge him and you don't commune with him? And so, ladies and gentlemen, if we really are bent on having a pure heart, we must depend on the Holy Spirit, acknowledge him as our helper, and commune regularly with him. Can somebody say an amen if you agree? Number two, what we must do to have pure hearts is to depend on the grace of God. We must depend on the grace of God. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. We must depend on the grace of God. What does Titus chapter 2 verse 11 say from the New Living Translation? For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. Give me the King James Version. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. How is salvation made possible? Through the grace of God. So the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. So if you're saved, how many people are saved? Alright, then it should be clear to you that you have experienced the grace of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared unto you. That's how come you are saved. But ladies and gentlemen, the work of grace does not just end there. Just because you are saved, just because you've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, it doesn't mean that you don't need grace again. You need it to run the Christian race. And you need it to press on in this Christian journey until we get to the other side. You know this hymn, popular hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. The very last verse, I believe, says, through many days just toils and snares, I have already come. Now look at what it says. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. Will lead me home. about it. It is grace that has brought me safe thus far. That's what the songwriter is saying. That I have come this far by the grace of God. Starting this Christian journey was made possible by the grace of God. Then the songwriter is explaining that this grace that has brought me this far is grace, is that same grace that will lead me home. Not to your house at Bechele Bumper. The home here is talking about your eternal home. Hallelujah. And so we can never stop depending on the grace of God. And I can tell you emphatically that if we are going to have a pure heart or exhibit the kind of heart that Jesus had, which was pure, so that we can become more like him, we are going to have to depend on the grace of God every step of the way. The moment we stop depending on grace and begin to think that it is purely by works, that is the day that we fall. And that's the day that we miss it. Hallelujah. Of course, after you become born again, you are expected to do good works. But that doesn't mean that the good works that you are doing must be outside the grace of God. Because even without the grace of God, you cannot do the good works. So understand this, ladies and gentlemen. If we are going to have pure hearts and have the kind of pure hearts that Jesus had, we have to keep depending on the grace of God. Lift up your hand and say, grace has brought me far. I will not give up on the grace. I will never put the grace of God aside. I will hold on to the grace of God, and that grace will lead me home. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Number three, if we want to have pure hearts like Jesus' heart, we must pray and fast regularly. Amen. We must pray and fast regularly. Now, when Jesus took the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, we read about that there. He went a bit further with Peter, James, and John. And then he left them and he went to be on his own. Now, the instruction that he gave to them was that, pray with me. Hallelujah. He came back to find out that they were fast asleep and they were snoring. Now, Jesus said to them and he exclaimed, I'm sure that he shook them. You know, sometimes during a prayer meeting, people are sleeping. You know, and then when you get close and you draw their attention, then they start, but you were fast asleep. Do you see? So you are doing Joe in prayer. So when he woke them, they were pretending as if they were praying. And Jesus said that, what? You couldn't watch with me for even 1 hour? Then look at verse 41, which was the next thing that he said to them. He said, keep watch and do what? Pray. So that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So he said, keep watch and pray. Hallelujah. Keep watch and pray. Then in Mark chapter 9, somewhere in there, find it for me, in that story of the man whose son had epilepsy, who came to Jesus, but Jesus wasn't there, had gone up the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. They were the closest to him. And the other disciples had tried to cast out the demon and to deal with the situation, and they couldn't. And later on, Jesus came and dealt with the problem. When they were alone, they asked Jesus that, why could we not deal with the situation? And Jesus made a very important statement to them. And this is what he said to them. Hallelujah. This is what he said to them in Mark chapter 9 and verse 29. And he said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and what? By prayer and fasting. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. What it means is that there are certain situations that if we're going to be able to deal emphatically with in our lives, there is a need to combine the twin forces of prayer and fasting. And one of the reasons why fasting is important is it helps to suppress the body and its desires. Hallelujah. It helps to suppress the body and its desire. So the more you pray and the more you fast, the more you are able to suppress the body, and the more you allow your spirit, which is good and always wants to do the right thing, to come up to the surface. So ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to have pure hearts, one of the things that we must do often is to pray and fast. And in this church, from the inception of the church, we have tried to have a culture of prayer and fasting. And since the church started in 2021, apart from a few Wednesdays, every Wednesday we pray and we fast. It helps us. It helps us to keep the body under, and it helps us to become better people. Hallelujah. Then there are other seasons in the course of the year when we have an extended prayer and fasting time. We do that at the beginning of the year. We do that in the middle of the year. And during this last part of the year, we are going to be having a time of prayer and fasting to round up the year 2024. I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that to have a pure heart, we need to deal with so many things in our lives. And one of the things that helps us to deal with those things, to deal with the flesh, to deal with the weaknesses, to deal with the wrong desires in our body, is when we pray and when we fast. Amen. What must we do to have pure hearts? Number four, we must study the word of God. We must obey it. Meditate on scriptures and memorize them. We must study the word of God, obey the word of God, meditate on scriptures, and memorize these scriptures. If you ask and say, Pastor, what can I do to have a pure heart? One of the things that you can do is to study the word of God, determined to obey what the word of God says, meditate on the scriptures, and memorize them. Psalms 119 verse 9 to 11. Psalms 119 verse 9 to 11. New Living Translation says, how can a young person stay pure? How can a young person stay pure? And you cannot stay pure until you have a pure heart. Is that easy to understand? And it gives the answer, by obeying your word. What word is that? The word of God. Then it continues, I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. Then verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So here you can see one of the important roles of the word of God in our lives. It helps us to stay pure. And that is why we must study the word of God, and we must do everything that we can to obey it. And to obey the word of God means that we must become doers of the word and not stay hearers only. One of the sad things about us as Christians, many of us just receive the word, but we don't do what is said. It's a very unfortunate occurrence. I mean, if I think about all the messages I have preached here from the inception of the church, it cuts across different subjects, different aspects of life. If we were to do everything that the Word of God revealed to us through the sermons here, the sermons that have been delivered here, our lives should be far, far better than how they are. But the problem often is that we hear the Word, but we don't obey the Word. We hear the Word, but we don't put it into practice. And because of that, certain changes that we should see in our lives, we don't see them. And I've taught you on various subjects, spiritual things, physical things, things that can help you both spiritually and secularly. Help us in our marriages, in our finances, in our businesses, in our Christian work. I've taught you about serving God diligently. I've talked to you about commitment. I've talked to you about not forsaking the assembling of the saints. I've taught you about fellowship. I've taught you about so many things. So that has been the challenge. And that has been one of the major problems of God's people, obeying His word. So you will notice that when God gave the law to the people of Israel, He kept emphasizing, if you will be diligent to obey what I say, then these blessings will follow you. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath, you know, and so many things. I'll bless your bread and your water and all these very exciting scriptures. So ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to develop pure hearts, we must study the word of God. We must determine to obey the word of God. We must meditate on the scriptures. We must take and meditate on them. And when you are meditating on the scriptures, you are not just glancing through or gleaning through the scriptures. You are taking them word by word, line by line, precept upon precept. And you are reflecting on those words. It's like you chew and chew and chew again. You ruminate on the word of God. That's how cows eat. When they are chewing grass, they chew and swallow and bring it out and chew and swallow. They want to get everything out of what they are eating. That's what we are supposed to do with the word of God. And then we must memorize the scriptures. We must memorize the scriptures. Because He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Now, how can you hide the word of God in your heart if you don't have the word inside you? If you don't know what the Bible says and where it says what. So ladies and gentlemen, if we are serious about having pure hearts, we must study the word of God. We must obey the word, meditate on the scriptures, and memorize them. Amen. Number five, we must pursue self-denial and self-discipline. Everybody say self-denial. And then self-discipline. All right. So self-denial is to deny yourself, and self-discipline is to discipline yourself. It means that we must make the sacrifices we need to make. Without that, we cannot have pure hearts. And to have pure hearts, there are sacrifices to make. There's a price to pay. Look at Matthew 16 verse 24, New King James Version. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, what must he do? What must he do? Deny himself, which is, in other words, what? Self-denial. Deny himself, and then do what? Take up his cross. That means be ready to make a sacrifice, and then follow me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. 1 Corinthians 9:27, New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul, the great apostle Paul, who accomplished so much for the kingdom of God, had this to say. He said, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So this is the great Apostle Paul, and he is emphasizing on the need for self-discipline for all, including men and women of God. So he's emphasizing here self-discipline, and he talks about disciplining his body. And that's our being, this body, this flesh. It doesn't like to do the good things that it's supposed to do. So Paul is talking about self-discipline here. And if we are going to have pure hearts, we must learn to deny ourselves of certain things, and we must learn to discipline ourselves. And it's going to come at a cost. There's a price to pay to have pure hearts and to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. There's a price to pay. And we must ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Remember that he's the one who helps us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if you realize that there's a certain reluctance and lack of desire to do the things, the good things that you must do, then you must pray and ask the Holy Spirit, please help me, please help me, please help me. But I tell you, it comes at a cost. It comes at a price. Sometimes you have to let certain people go out of your life. These are people that you feel a certain way about, you feel very strongly about. You got to let them go. Sometimes you have to let certain opportunities go, because you know that these opportunities are going to, if I accept them, if I take them, there's going to be a problem. There's going to be a problem. You have to decide not to go to certain places, not to get involved in certain things. It's not an easy thing to do, and you feel it at the end of the day. But without the self-denial and the self-discipline, we can never have pure hearts and become who God wants us to become. May God help us to have the self-denial and the self-discipline that is needed to have pure hearts. And did somebody say an amen to that? Number six, let's finish up quickly. What must we do to have pure hearts? Number six, we must work on our minds, the way we think and what we think about. We must work on our minds, the way we think and what we think about. If we are going to have pure hearts and live pure lives, we must work on our minds, the way we think and what we think about. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12 verse 2, New Living Translation. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but can you read the next statement with me? But what? Let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. So the transformation takes place when there is a change in the way you think. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts. It means that think about these things. Let your mind dwell on these things. What things must your mind dwell on? What is true? What is honorable, right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable? Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So in the first scripture, the Bible talks about changing the way we think, allowing God to transform us by changing the way we think. Now, it is like reformatting your mind or deprogramming it and putting a new program in. And the new program that we must install on our minds is what is being described to us. Has to do with things that are true, things that are honorable, things that are right, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are admirable, things that are excellent, things that are worthy of praise. We cannot have pure hearts until we arrest our mind and the way it tends to run. Hallelujah. So to have pure hearts, we must work on our minds, the way we think and what we think about. Number seven, we are inching closer to the end. If we want to have pure hearts, we must walk in humility and not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. We must walk in humility and not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Proverbs 16, verse 18. We must walk in humility and not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Proverbs 16, 18 says, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. It is clear, crystal clear from this scripture and other scriptures related to this, that when we are proud and when we are arrogant, we are just setting ourselves up for a fall. And it even relates to issues of purity and purity of the heart. When you begin to think more highly of yourself than you ought to, look at Romans 12, verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. The King James says that do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. When you start doing that, you are walking in pride and you are not operating humility. And that thing leads to a fall. Once pride enters in, you are corrupted. It stains you. That's the reality of it. Two people went into the temple in Luke chapter 18. They went to pray. One was a Pharisee. When he went there, he started singing his own praises. I fast. I give alms. I do this. I do that. And then he will not even concentrate on his own prayer. Then he turns and points to the publican, who is like somebody that everybody sees as a very bad person. I say, I thank you. I thank you, God, that I am not like this guy. He's a bad fellow. He said, I thank thee. I like the King James. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortionists, unjust, adulterous, or even like this publican. At the end of the day, when they left, it was the publican who was justified before God. That means that God liked him and God was pleased with him and God decided to bless him. But God had a problem with the Pharisee because he wasn't thinking straight and was full of himself, which is a sign of pride and arrogance. If we are going to stay pure, we should be little in our own sight and we should be cool. And you should watch how you deal with other people who have issues. It's a sign of pride. Look, if you've never been caught up in certain things before, thank God and always tell yourself that it is by the grace of God. Don't be somebody who easily condemns people and says hateful things about them just because you have not had certain experiences before. If you have experienced some of the things that other people experience, perhaps your end will be worse than this, or you may find yourself in a situation worse than how they find themselves in. It doesn't mean that we should condone certain things, but you always have to be careful and patient when you are dealing with other people and their issues. One of the signs of pride is when you are impatient with the faults of others. And once you have that thing, your heart is not pure. Jesus Christ never condemned the publicans and the sinners that he encountered. On the contrary, he ate with them. He fellowshiped with them. So because of that thing, the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders of the people questioned his calling, questioned his anointing. They were so bored when one day Jesus was there and some woman has come and had broken a bottle of alabaster box of perfume and anointed Jesus' feet. And actually that thing, it appears that it happened two or three times in Jesus' life and ministry. In one instance, it was the Pharisee who had invited Jesus to dinner who started saying that, hey, this guy, he's not correct, he's not pure at all. Why is he allowing this kind of person to touch him? The other time, it was the disciples. Then on another occasion, it was Judas. Judas was picked out of the lot. So why was this thing not sold and given to the poor? And then the Bible explains that he said that because he was a thief. What am I saying? And Jesus was allowed, and he explained to the people that this thing that this woman has done, it is to honor me. It's in memory of me. And because of this thing that she has done, anywhere the gospel is preached, this woman will never be forgotten. So I'm explaining to you, ladies and gentlemen, that we should walk in humility and not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Number 8, we must surround ourselves with people who will influence us positively if we are going to have pure hearts. We must surround ourselves with people who will influence us positively. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33 from the New King James Version of the Bible, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good manners. That means that the company that you keep has an effect on you. If you hang around with funny people, it will corrupt you. And it's more likely that they will change you before you change them. So that's why you got to be careful of the company that you give. It can affect your purity and your quest to have a pure heart. Number 9, we must deal emphatically with all anger, bitterness, and malice. Anger, bitterness, and malice must be dealt emphatically with in our lives if we're going to have pure hearts. We must deal emphatically with all anger, bitterness, and malice. Now, these are examples of things that can corrupt a person's heart and make your heart impure. And number 10, we must stay tender-hearted and be quick to forgive. It will make your heart pure. You must stay tender-hearted and be quick to forgive. Let's end with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32, New Living Translation. Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. We should get rid of them all. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. When we do these things, they will help us to help, it will help us to have a pure heart. So remember what I said, having a pure heart, it's a combination of different things. You can't just take one or two things and feel that that is all there is to it. But you need to combine all of these different things that I have run you through if you're going to be successful in having a pure heart. May I conclude by saying, ladies and gentlemen, that God's expectation for us hasn't changed. He wants us to become more like Jesus. But to become more like Jesus, as I've already emphasized, we must have the kind of heart that he had. One of the things that we see about the heart of Jesus is that his heart was pure. And we are saying to God, a heart like yours is our desire. A heart full of compassion, nothing wrong within. Please hear me, Lord. Give me a heart like yours. May I say finally, that the reality, ladies and gentlemen, really is that God has already worked on us. He's already given us a new heart and a new spirit. Because when you become born again, that's what he does. But you must understand that this new heart and the new spirit is in a problematic body. And for as long as you live, there is that running battle that goes on between your flesh and your mind and that new heart and that new spirit that God has given to you. And that is why all the time we need to check ourselves and pray like David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked ways in me, and lead me in the ways everlasting." Sometimes when you sweep a room, you think it's very clean. Now, when you go home, check your room, the room that you've swept, that you've dusted. Just look under the bed. Just look under the bed. And then when we come next week, tell me what you found there. Open your wardrobe and look inside. From the surface, it looks very clean. But as you go deeper, you realize that there are things there. And sometimes that's our problem as Christians. There are things. And there are times when you don't even know that there's something wrong somewhere. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to show things to you, to reveal things about ourselves to us. Because it's when he shows us these things that we can depend on him for the grace and every other ability that we need to do better. And I want you to understand that by the grace of God, we are going to do better. And our lives are going to become more and more like Jesus as we pursue this quest of having pure hearts like Jesus' heart. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for what we have heard. Thank you for these additional lessons on having a pure heart, which is the kind of heart that Jesus had. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've been given to us to help us to develop that kind of heart. I pray in your name, Jesus, that you will touch us and that you will strengthen us and let your grace abound unto us. The things that we are still struggling with in our lives, give us the strength, the willpower, the ability to deal with those things, working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit to break away from anything that stains us, so that we can become pure in your sight and have pure hearts and be pleasing unto you. Thank you for what you have already done already in our hearts, and thank you that it's going to show up more and more as we press on in our Christian experience. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Let the people of God say amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.